American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at birthnet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit birthnet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Pioneer of the Nile is the nation's number one ranked second crop sire. As such, his 2015 stud fees climbed to $60,000. Carol Prince from the first crop of Pioneer of the Nile is to stand his first season at stud in 2015 for $10,000 live foal, and he is one of the runners that has established his sire at stud. He was a superior two-year-old. His trainer, Kieran McLaughlin, described him as a, quote, great two-year-old and one of the best three-year-olds I've ever been around, unquote. He won at First Asking at Belmont, then captured the Grade 2 Nazareth Stakes in his third start and was ahead bobbing second in the Grade 2 Remsen. He was an impressive five-length winner of the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes in his first start at three, then finished a game fourth while injured in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. It's a great sire line. Pioneer of the Nile is my empire maker, Son of Unbridled. Carol Prince's dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Holy Bull, and Carol Prince has a superb confirmation to go with it. He was a $250,000 sales yearling. Carol Prince is at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to a racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning. The show stuff just starting, and the sun just came out. How about that?
Just to match your disposition.
Thank you, God.
That's what I look at you every Saturday morning, Ursula. It just makes me smile because you're a sunny disposition.
Well, I've got a face for radio. That's why.
Well, how you doing? All right?
I'm doing real good. This is Michael Blowing at interrupting me already.
Sorry.
Which is... We are, of course, here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Crocker Stand. Been real busy. I think we've had about... I came in to help with the clocking at about 9 o'clock, and he already had... How many did you have at that time, David? About 60?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
About 60, and I guess we're up about 80 works this morning.
No, we're almost at 100.
Almost at 100. Well, my record's still safe. I used to do the clocking here, and Jackie and I, one time, she was helping me. We had 117 works one morning.
Yeah.
And the watches were smoking.
You know what's great about that? You know, because when you started, they use sundials.
Your phone's not ringing. Would you mind?
It's my sister. I'll talk to her later.
Okay.
She can't have anything important to say.
Okay.
Well, you know what? My sister called me one day. She goes, you know, I think you like those horses more than you like your family.
Probably with good reason.
So I didn't say anything. Well, both my parents have passed away, so the odds weren't in her favor.
Okay.
I didn't say anything. And she goes, well, what? I said, I'm not saying anything. She goes, why? And I go, well, if I answer one way, I'd be lying. If I answer the other way, you'll be mad at me.
Okay.
Anyway. So, yeah, things are going really good at the farm. I just can't get over it. I mean, we put up all that fence. We're finishing putting up all those running sheds. We'll have them all done. I think we'll have all the running sheds done in another 2 weeks.
My goodness.
And then we're still waiting. We should have Silver Charm, the Silver Charm, not my little Silver Charm, the Silver Charm at the farm in about a week.
Wow. Okay. You going to turn him out with the other Silver Charm?
No. But I'd love to get a picture of meeting.
Oh, would you?
Two pictures I want to get is them meeting and you know, we had Silver Charm's dam, Bonnie's Poker, at the farm for a long time. She passed away, and I want to get a picture of him visiting the grave.
Oh, okay. Isn't that dramatic? And then don't you love it?
Yeah. Well, so you got to, you know, when you get my age, certain things entertain you more than others. But Game On Dude's doing well.
Good. I like my hat.
I like that hat.
Okay, right.
You
gave it to
some
me.
Some very generous person must have given you that hat.
The horse gave it to me personally.
Very nice. Yeah. Yeah, he's doing really, really well. And we have a horse coming in on Monday named Sarbonne, who is one of Zenyatta's workout pals.
Oh, okay.
And there's a nice lady up in Washington sending Sarbonne to us. So.
One of Zenyatta's workout. Did she run?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Well, if she did, it wasn't very fast.
Oh.
She just...
Well, how could she be a good workhorse?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it built up Zenyatta's confidence.
Ah, yeah.
Well, I don't know those things. I don't train them. I don't own them. I just retire them. I don't know anything about this.
Broke her off, you know, in front of him, you know, 16th of a mile or something like that. I remember when Spysong was in training, they had a filly named Fulmar that they used to work with Spysong. He was a brilliant sprinter, and they would break her off about 10 lengths in front of him, you know, so that they basically finished together, but he always went by her anyway. But I mean, she was a good race mare. She won overnight handicaps and allowance race mare, you know, too. And a stakes producer, incidentally.
Wow.
But this is just back in 1946. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was the year you first retired.
Oh, it was? I didn't know I was retired. Here comes the birthday boy.
Hi, birthday boy.
Oh, no, I voted for this guy I voted for him in the farm manager's election.
Howard.
I voted for you.
Well, at least I got another vote in mine and yours.
Yeah, okay. That must be it.
No, I have to admit, I voted for him, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, that's because he's such a good father.
Well, no, I guess. I don't know why I voted for him. In the hope that he'd have to shave.
Oh, that's it.
Yes.
What?
At the end of November, December 1st, I shaved. It's No Shave November.
No Shave November.
Prostate Cancer Awareness Month.
Gillette hates it.
Yeah, I can save a lot of money.
Yeah.
But it's been really good. First of all, I want to introduce you to Carolyn Carlson.
All right.
Carolyn's with the Retired Racehorse Project. Carolyn's one of the big supporters of old friends. She's a partner in Bourbon Lane Stables. So when we needed money to build a paddock, she really stepped up to the plate. Now we have a good partnership with Bourbon Lane Stables, and we have one of her horses, Johannes Bourbon, at the farm now. And I'm not in any hurry to get any others, but you know, whenever the time comes, they'll be coming to the farm. So
all
she's
your
been
horses,
very helpful.
All of them, Carolyn, all Bourbon and Lane horses will be there then.
Oh well, we want to have them work into second careers, of course. But the ones that need to be there know they can go there.
Okay.
Well, and this is Stuart Pittman. I'll get out of the way. You know, Stuart manages the Retired Racehorse Project, and they have a lot of really exciting news about what they've got planned for Kentucky over the next year or so.
Okay.
I'll let Stuart come in, and he can talk about it. So thank you very much. If you need anything from me, just give me a call.
Can you lend me $100? Boy, did you hear that deafening silence after that?
What did he say about his sister?
You heard what he said, yeah. Didn't you? Huh? Okay. Stuart, if you move on, I'm going to take a little break here, and we'll get right back to you. I've got to pay some bills.
It's taller than you.
And take your phone with you, will you, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, the two top-priced broodmares sold at Keeneland November breeding stock sale were both in full to the cover of Warfront. One sold for $3.9 million and the other for $3.6 million. Also, the two highest-priced in-fold mares at Facey Tipton November sale were in full to Warfront. Both bought $3 million. Now, Warfront, highly regarded both here and abroad, stands at Claiborne Farm for $150,000, doing the full stands and nurses. There, too, is his grade one winning son, Data Link. Now, Data Link is a winner of one at 2, 3, and 4. Oh, I typed these things and I messed up a couple of times. A winner of 2, 3, and 4. I've got a 1, 3, and 4. He didn't win as a yearling, I'll tell you. But anyway, won the grade one Makers 46 Mile, the grade two Mama Stakes, the grade two Citation Handicap, the grade three Canadian Turf Stakes, placed in three more graded stakes, including another grade one. And he earned over $831,000. He's out of a stakes-winning mare from a superb female family. His first foals are due next year. Data Link stands for $7,500. Payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252. And see the website at claibonfarm.com. Jackie's supposed to do this one, but she's over there talking to Michael. Well, Matt, then. Shiloh. All right.
Okay.
Well, it's a pretty good feeling to do business with people that you trust. And I tell you what, over in Bourbon County where I live, the Hopewell Company is our insurance company and has been since we moved over there. How many years ago has that been? 27, 28 years ago. And I tell you, they're great people. That's Joe and Ted McLean in the Hopewell Company. They've got extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables. They cover our home, our barn, Cars, I should say car and trucks, put it that way. Horse trailer, like we've got liability coverage with them, and they're right there whenever we need them. I know that I had an accident several years ago, and I called up Ted and told him, and I never heard from him since. You know, that was the end of it. My rates didn't go up, so you know that's a hell of an insurance company. So I tell you, they're prepared to provide you with a no cost, no obligation review and comparison of your insurance, and that's my good friends Joe and Ted McLean. Over in Paris, they're on 820 Main Street in Paris, Kentucky. The Hopewell Company, the phone number is 987-2347. They got a Lexington number, too, 254-2431. Go on over there. You'd be glad you did, I guarantee it. Well, another great outfit over in Paris is two of them, as a matter of fact. One is the Clay Ward Agency, and they've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over eight decades now. I think I know they founded that business by 1931. That was the year 20 grand won a derby. And Mr. James Clay Ward founded it. I got to meet him a long time ago. He was doing business with my dad when he was managing Dixiana Farm. But he established a tradition there, and the tradition of hard work, service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. They carry that on today with Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess over at the Clay Ward Agency. If you want to insure your horses with the people who really know what they're doing, and they're great people to do business with, I'd recommend that you call them. The number is 859. It's a Paris number, 987-1861. Just remember the year that the Civil War started, 1861. And the Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek Farm, also over in Bourbon County, and they have a tradition there, too. The tradition is for raising and selling top-quality blood stock, and they've been doing so for a number of years now. They've sold six champions, incidentally, and they either sold or raised right there at Indian Creek. So it's a great place to board your horses. They're a great horseman. They represent you at all the sales. So give Shaq or Nicky Dryan a call. 859-987-7443, and that's two outfits you really should know about them if you're in the horse business. It's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. All righty, well, I've got Carolyn Carlson and Stuart Pittman with me today, and they are affiliated with the Retired Racehorse Project. And you need to have to tell me a little something about this, Carolyn, or whoever wants to start. Do you want to start, Stuart?
I guess I am, because Carolyn says so.
Okay.
So
you're just doing as you're told?
I do as I'm told, even though she's the vice president, but she's in charge.
Okay.
So, we're an outfit that started back in Maryland, mostly in the Mid-Atlantic, and we're a group of people that come from both racing and riding. Mm-hmm. And I grew up riding thoroughbreds but not racing them. So I do three-day eventing. And I run a business in Maryland training horses, and about 80% of them are thoroughbreds because that's what I like, and everybody knows that's what I like, so that's what they send. But we started this organization because we were kind of irritated about what was going on in our world with the riding people. The percentage of show horses that were thoroughbreds was about 40% registered in 1980s, and it dropped to 10% in the 2000s, and we don't see any good reason for that. So we thought we need to come back and fight back and try to increase the demand for the thoroughbreds in all the riding sports.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in order to do that, we had to figure out ways of doing some marketing, doing some education, and so we started running contests like trainer challenges and going to horse expos and you know, created a website with a lot of educational content. And we've done some events at Pimlico, we call it the Thoroughbred Makeover, that have been real successful. And the reason we're here right now is that we're going to move this event to the Kentucky Horse Park next year, a week before Breeders' Cup.
Oh, that's great. And a week before Breeders' Cup?
A week before Breeders'
Cup. It'll be in October.
Yeah, third weekend of October.
Yeah, during the Keeneland meet.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, where are you from, Maryland?
I'm from Maryland. Mm-hmm. Yep. Grew up there, eighth generation on the farm. We're surrounded by thoroughbred breeders, and my dad always refused to race horses because he just didn't like to spend money, and he didn't believe he could get it back. So
sounds like my dad.
Yeah. But
especially the former part, didn't want to spend money.
Yeah. But we're not far from the Bowie Racetrack, now Bowie Training Center, And then Laurel isn't too far away, about 45 minutes. And then we got Pimlico up in Baltimore. So, you know, Maryland Racing is coming back, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people in Maryland and in the Mid-Atlantic who grew up riding thoroughbreds. They were the horse for fox hunting. You couldn't
There's a lot of fox hunting up there, isn't there?
Yeah.
Is it as big as Virginia?
I guess it depends on who you ask.
Well, I'm asking you.
Where the hunting's better, too. yeah, it's as big as Virginia.
Yeah.
We got – Maryland's big for steeplechase racing and timber racing. You know, you heard of the Maryland Hunt Cup, the toughest, you know, four-mile timber race over these solid jumps. And a lot of them are X-race horses, too. They start on the flat track. And then
One of the habits that I have is I pull the race results for every track in the country every day. And, you know, look at the race results. And I get the hunt results.
Oh, do you?
And I love them, you know.
Yeah.
2.25 miles, you know, and old thoroughbreds winning those things, you know.
Yeah.
Most of them, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 years old.
14-year-old won the Maryland Hunt Cup one year.
Is that right? A 14-year-old?
Yep.
Oh, God. He's getting up there with me.
Yeah. So we've got all that going on, and it used to be that in the show hunter world, you had to be on a thoroughbred to get a ribbon. Now everybody wants a warm blood. For no good reason, and then in 3-day eventing, which is big back east and is big out here, it's a growing sport. You know, with the dressage and the cross country jumping and the show jumping, you know, you got to have a horse that's brave, a horse that's bred to go to the front, a horse that's got heart and stamina, and a real athlete and that can do it all. And so, you know, every year at Rolex, we come out here for the big 3-day, and we track the thoroughbreds that have raced, and out of the 60 entries or so, these are the top horses in the world. Really, they're getting shipped in from overseas. Too for that competition, about 25-30% are thoroughbreds that raced.
That raced.
And all the rest of them are at least 3/4 thoroughbred, or they wouldn't make it to the end of the course.
Yeah.
But even in that sport, you know, you got all these warm blood breeds marketing themselves and, you know, breeding for the sport specifically.
What you have to do is beat them.
Got to beat them, exactly.
Yeah.
Got to beat them. And the thoroughbreds do beat them still.
Yeah.
And everybody says, oh, the thoroughbreds are no longer the best. We got all these crosses that have been bred for the sport, but the thoroughbreds keep coming back and showing them that, especially when you got tough conditions, you know, when the ground's a little heavy and the other horses get tired, the thoroughbreds are the ones that win. So. But it's not just at the top of these sports that we have to promote it for. It's the folks that just ride, because there are 2 million people in the country that have horses.
Yeah.
And, you know, what, about 20,000-25,000 get born for racing every year. And there's enough people to absorb these horses in second careers if we can convince them. Well, first, we got to teach them to ride, and then convince them they want a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of education that goes along with that.
Yeah. My wife used to fox hunt, and she always rode thoroughbreds.
Uh-huh.
And we still got one of the old retired ones at home. It's probably going to outlive me. But
yeah. Yeah, well, they not only live a long time, but you know what? Compared to some of these other breeds, the thoroughbreds, they last longer. And I actually believe, and there's some scientific evidence of this, that a horse that works when it's young has greater bone density. You can measure that. Ligaments are stronger. And, you know, you look at Idle Dice back in the 70s. He was the greatest show jumper of all time with Roddy Jenkins. He won Grand Prix at the age of 21. No horse is doing that anymore.
Yeah.
And he started out at Charlestown Racetrack.
Oh, so Charlestown. On the bull ring.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 17-hand horse in the bull ring. And he won 20-some Grand Prix. No other horse has done anything like that, you know.
So
they hold up.
Yeah, well, that's good. Let me take a little break, and I'll get Carolyn on you.
Okay.
All right. Well, First Defense and Mizzen Mass are both side grade 1 stakes winners this year. Closed Hatches from the first crop of First Defense won 3 grade 1 stakes. She has a total of 5 grade 1 wins. And she's earned over $2,707,000. The First Defense is also the sire of Group 3 stakes winner Dundonnell in his first crop, plus 5 others that have won a place in stakes. Mizzen Mass is the sire of 2 Grade 1 winners this year to bring the total to 7 Grade 1 winners, including the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. 2 have earned over $1 million, including a $2 million plus earner, Ms. Direction. The list of broodmares bred to First Defense since his first crop came out running reads like a who's who of races. You'll be hearing a whole lot more from them, I'll tell you that. Now, First Defense is a Grade 1 winner by Unbridled Song. Out of the Grade 1 winner, Honest Lady, a daughter of Seattle Slough, and Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. He stands for $10,000 live foal. Grade 1 winner, Mizzen Mass, a champ by Champion Sire Cozine, offers an outstanding cross to most North American mares. He stands for $25,000 live foal, and both stand at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Sally Van Service has been in business for, wow, over 60, 65, something years, something like that. And I remember when they first started around here. During that time, they've hauled some of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack. And they've learned a lot along the way down through the years, you know. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment have to be in tip-top condition. As a matter of fact, they build their own vans and everything, but the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. And they're extremely proud of their drivers over at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. So think about that the next time you ship your horses, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse onto a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. At Sally Van Service, they wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than 60 years now, Sally Van Service has been the safest way to the winner's circle. All righty. I'm talking to Carolyn. Let me get your attention over here. She's out here looking at all. We have a loose
horse out there.
We have a loose horse
yeah,
out there.
We do.
Yeah. We had, when I got here first this morning, there was one in the infield.
Oh, no.
It wasn't grazing either. Mm. You know? Although the grass is pretty good out there.
That's nice.
Yeah, didn't it look nice
mm-hmm.
for this time of year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm real fun. All right. Carolyn Carlson,
hello.
And you're also affiliated with the Tired Racehorse Project.
I am. I'm the vice president.
You're the vice president. Who's the president?
He is.
Oh, you're
Stuart.
The president. Well, okay. I mean, you didn't tell me that, Stuart. I'm sorry. I should have stood up and saluted or something. I didn't realize we had a president with us also. All right. And you're affiliated with Bourbon Lane,
yes.
Bourbon, how you say that again?
Bourbon Lane, with Mike McMahon and Jamie Hill.
Okay.
And I'm one of the owners of, there's 12 horses now with Bourbon Lane that I participate in, and I just absolutely love it. It's just, we're racing this afternoon, and I love being an owner, and I just adore these horses.
Oh, you said you had something this afternoon?
Yeah, we have a Bourbon Warfare running this afternoon. She's a Colonel John, and this is her second race, and she's in the last race today.
Okay, how'd she do first time out?
Mid-pack.
Mid-pack?
Yeah.
Well, she's learning.
She beat some beat her.
Okay.
We'll get better.
Yeah, well, hopefully. Well, the Colonel John, he's a tiz now, so they don't figure to come around that quick. Although the horse has done real well, got a great stakes winner in his first crop.
Mm-hmm.
Stands over Windstar Farm.
We're hopeful, yes.
Okay, what do you all, who selects these horses for you?
In general, Mike and Jamie, although there's a lot of tag-alongs. If we go to the sale, we go to the sale, walk around, and you know, certainly Mike and Jamie will be spending weeks walking Keeneland sales, and you know, to go to a sale with Mike and Jamie, you have to have a really good breakfast because they just don't stop. But that's just part of it, and I've enjoyed this so much. I started out in Maryland with one horse that Mike found for me. I'm not a career horse person. I started just 6 years ago, but it was my dream, my entire life to own racehorses, and it's always been my dream. I grew up in Saratoga and just loved the sport so much from a very young age, and finally, after a very long time, got to become an owner. And part of the reason why I love Retired Racehorse Project so much is because I feel as an owner, I have a moral responsibility to take care of these guys when they're done racing. I really do believe that if I'm part of their success, I have to be part of their succession. And so this work that we do truly is personal and truly matters to me. And I really wish that, and I do know that owners out there do care. And I would love to see this type of event bring forth lots of owners who are saying the same things. And we really want to know that our horses can retire soundly and go on to second careers in so many disciplines. I mean, they're playing polo, they're fox hunting, they're barrel racing, they're doing things that you can't even imagine, and they're successful at it with just a little bit of training, as little schools 3 months, mm-hmm. they can go out and do wonderful things and live long lives and be profitable and, you know, have a job and be good at it. So mm-hmm. that's what, you know, that's our mission, is to make that happen, not just in Maryland, but in Kentucky, but everywhere on a national level. We really see that mission as something that is beneficial, not just to the thoroughbreds, but to the trainers, the owners, and to the whole population that loves these horses.
Yeah. Now, you all have a base of operation here in Kentucky?
Not yet.
Don't look at me. Well, you're planning on it, or?
Well, you know, I sort of see us as more of a mobile unit.
Oh, okay.
We have a great program, and we can take it to where the horses are, as opposed to having the horses come to us. Now, certainly with the horse park, the horses will be coming here to participate, but who doesn't want to go to the horse park? It's just a fabulous destination. But what we offer in terms of a makeover, some ponies, symposium, education, we can take that to multiple tracks, multiple states. We were talking last night at dinner, we could take it to California or Florida, wherever you have a population of thoroughbreds and owners and trainers that can benefit. And, of course, the end user, whatever discipline wants to embrace that thoroughbred. So if we had a population that was very polo-related, for example, we could take it there. And show, you know, a great use for a 15 two-hand mare is a polo pony. Mm-hmm. They love the little mares. So,
yeah, I know they do.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's maybe that mare is not a breeding prospect, but she could have great value as a polo pony.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you get a 3,000 claimer and you turn around and polo ponies are expensive. I mean, we're talking, what, 10,000? More? 20,000? For that same 3,000, 5,000 claimer with just a little bit of training. So, you know, I don't like to use the word flip horses because it sounds, I don't like it, but sometimes that's an easier way to think about it. If you take a horse whose value is determined by its last race, you put 3 months of training on it, you put it back on the market, you've made some money.
Yeah.
If you've done it according to what the discipline demand is. And so we want trainers to know that that is an option as opposed to putting out there for that one last race in which they get hurt. You're retiring them sound gives that horse a chance to be retrained and be really successful in the next 20 years of its life.
You all have a website or something
we
that people
do.
Can learn more
we
about,
absolutely
about
do.
This?
It's retiredracehorseproject.org. And besides learning about what we're doing now, you can learn about a bunch of things, including we have what's called a blood horse brag, where you can talk good things about your horse.
Blood horse.
Blood horse. They're going to love me for that. You can list your horse, thoroughbred to sell. And there's no charge for doing that. So we've got, 170 thoroughbreds up there right now
or so.
We've got a directory coming out, which is going to be awesome. Maybe Stuart should talk about that a little bit, the registry.
Well, there's a directory that's online now. It's going to be printed and distributed to backside of every racetrack and every racing owner we can find, as well as every equestrian venue, that lists about 300 businesses and organizations. So we've got about 119 nonprofit organizations in the country that help transition thoroughbreds to second careers. We don't do that as an organization. We're not a facility. We're just a service. And then about 200 farms and trainers, professional trainers. And we encourage those folks because the best thing you can do for a horse is give it the good training to secure its future. So those folks are trying to get business. They're trying to make a living transitioning these horses. And so they're all in the directory. All the information's about them. And the directory's on the website. It's all organized geographically. So you can see who's out there, you know, both, you know, to help you with getting your horse into a second career, selling your horse, or donating your horse, you know, whichever route people want to go.
Yeah. There is the young lady who's in charge of Rerun now, Lisa Malloy,
mm-hmm.
is extremely good at converting these horses.
I know her, yeah.
Yeah, she is excellent.
Yeah.
We've sent her a couple. Back to the last horse we had in training went to Lisa.
Yeah. Yep.
And she did a wonderful thing with us. It was a filly. And the filly's up in Michigan getting all kinds of blue ribbons.
Yeah. And we got to
some little 14-year-old girl started out with her, you know.
Well, we got to get these young people, the next generation and Pony Club, and we work with all these organizations to think of thoroughbreds and training thoroughbreds as the most fun thing you can do, and in some cases, even a career as a trainer. I mean, I became a professional in the riding world because I went to the racetrack and I got horses and I trained them and then I sold them and people saw it. Oh, well, maybe he does know what he's doing. But
yeah.
You know, that's how people get started.
Yeah. Getting back to you, Carolyn, where are you from?
Also from Maryland.
Oh, are you?
Baltimore.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, so you grew up close to a racetrack. Is that how you got interested
in horses?
Actually,
no. I grew up closer to Saratoga. I grew up in North Adams, Massachusetts, which is about an hour north of south of Saratoga. And my dad loved horse racing. He would bring me from the time I was 4 years old up to that track. Never told my mom we were going. We were supposed to be going to the beach, but we went to the track. And, you know, he'd sneak me around the backside with his buddies. And, you know, there are a bunch of track guys. And I just loved it. Stayed with me my entire life, and I still love Saratoga. It's just one of my favorite places in the world, and it just stuck with me to the point where, and it took me, I'm actually a professor. I'm a college academic person, and University of Maryland.
Oh, okay.
And 25 years I've worked as a professor, and I've loved working as a professor, but all that time I also wanted to own racehorses, so it's just only been in the last 6 years I've been able to do that. But it's just been one of those dreams you have that stays with you your entire life, and then you finally get to do it. And it's really been everything I had hoped. And we were just 2 weeks ago, Bourbon Courage ran in the Breeders' Cup and came in fourth in the sprint, and it was just one of the most exhilarating things I've ever been able to experience. And it just that joy of racing it just lives in me. But I have an equal joy and love for Retired Racehorse Project because it brings that passionate activity that is horse racing full circle, because even the best horse, even the slowest horse, still needs a place to land when they're done racing. And so, you know, to get so excited about racing also means you gotta get excited about what happens after the race is over. In my mind, there's a balance there. So, you know, I tried really hard to look at both. And your dad wouldn't like me as much because I like to spend money. I like to spend a lot of money. And so the money I spend on the horses, I also spend equal parts on aftercare. I try to balance it out. So when I look at my horse budget, I look at all the whole spectrum of what this horse is going to need, not just while they're running, but when they're finished.
Yeah.
And so I just see it that way as a commitment that is not done after six furlongs. It's just something that's ongoing.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, I've still got the last horse I ever trained. He's how old is that old booger now?
Too old. Huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's old enough to know better. I think he's 18 now. Coming 19. Yeah, but he won me a julep cup out of Keeneland, so I said, I guess you can stay. Yeah.
I have the first horse that I ever bought, and she's actually in training with Stuart at Dodon Farm. So she went from being a racehorse to an inventing horse, and she's living a happy life.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, let me have that website again. I'm going to have to move along. I got my veterinarian over here I've got to put on.
It's retiredracehorseproject.org.
Okay.
And Kentucky Horse Park, third weekend of October, right before the Breeders' Cup. There'll be a couple hundred horses doing about 10 different sports, and it'll be a blast.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you all so much, Carolyn Carlson and Stuart Pittman, and for coming in
with
Michael Bowen. And come back and see us.
We will.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, First Crop Wheelings by Gemologists have sold for $185,000, $125,000, $115,000, and $110,000 this year. That's because they look and act like runners, and that Gemologist is well remembered as a superior runner himself. He was undefeated as a 2-year-old, won the testing grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes, came back at 3 to verify his class with a victory in the grade 1 Wood. A race that's been won, incidentally, by a long list of horses, went on to become top sires at stud. Horses like Tappet, Empire Maker, and Bridal Song, just to mention 3. Doesn't hurt that Gemologist is a son of the big horse sire Hall of Famer Tisnell, and that he's one of 3 stakes winners produced by a daughter of Mr. Prospect. He's a superb individual. He was a $310,000 weanling. Gemologist is siring superb individuals, and he stands for $15,000 doing a full stanza nurses at Windstar Farm. Call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. Let's see, what have I got coming up here next?
Downstairs. We've got down a...
Oh, that's an old one, isn't it? I got to start into this.
Went down a...
What'd you do?
Got donuts.
Oh, donuts? Okay. Well, Albertus Maximus was a superior runner from a family of superior runners. That must be Jamie. Jamie Lynn? Yes, sir. Okay, we'll get right with you.
No hurry. I'm Albertus.
All right. Albertus Maximus was a superior runner from a family of superior runners. Won the grade one $1 million Breeders' Cup dirt mile, getting the distance 133-2. The grade one $500,000 Don handicap set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands handicap out of Del Mar. He earned $1,328,230. Now, Daredevil is a half-brother to Albertus Maximus. He won the grade one Champagne Stakes at two this year. He was a second choice to win a Breeders' Cup juvenile where he suffered a nightmare trip. Now, Chase the Wild, the dam of Albertus Maximus and Daredevil, is a half-sister to the Group 1 winner King Charlemagne, to the Group Stakes winner Mashahir, and to the dam of the Grade 1 winner Here Comes Ben. Out of the Grade 1 winner, Race the Wild win. Great family. Albertus Maximus is at Shadwell Farm with the stallions Deher, Intadab, and Invisor. All proven sires are greatest stakes winners. For more information, contact stallion manager Ken Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Jackie, want to do something?
Yeah, I looked at Quillen's yesterday on my Facebook, and it's time to order for Christmas if you want keychains, lobs, and or with your name on a brass nameplate for a keychain, or you can use them for...
In case you lose your pants somewhere.
In case you lose your pants on your belt, and... That's awful. But luggage tags, that's what else they've got. They got luggage tags.
Yeah.
You can tag anything with those things. And if you want to be sure to get them done by Christmas, don't wait till the 23rd of December. So I
that's when I always do my shopping.
Yeah, I know.
Everything's marked down by that time.
We get some weird junk.
We get leftovers.
Yeah, used pillows. Yeah. Isn't that nice? There, one year we had a used pillow Christmas. Oh, yeah. of course, Ralph's got a great tax
I gave
shop.
Her a new muck sack one year.
Listen, everything for years that I got had Thoroughbred Training Center on it, because he'd go right over here to this gift shop, and I got umpteen T-shirts. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's handy.
Remember, it's the thought that counts. Remember that?
That's practical.
Yeah, it's practical, too, right? It's good to muck out stuff. When I'm there. So, yeah, I'm going to get me another T-shirt, I can tell. Anyway, back to Quillen Leather and Tack. Quillen's is in Paris. They're famous, Amos. They really do a lot of stuff. Something like 17,000 halters they ship out every year. They have turnout halters. You can have plates on them. They have, oh, I'll tell you what it's time to get, too. If you haven't, it's time for mare neck straps with IDs on them, because if they take off their halters, that bless their hearts, out in the 30-acre field, they never take off their neck straps. So you know who that thing is that came in from California.
That you can't catch.
That you can't catch. That plain bay mare out there with no halter. Anyway, they, of course, have shanks, leather shanks, and you can put your a name tag on that, too. It's great. They also have a super gift shop, plenty of fun stuff. You want to get your dog something, get them a rolled collar with their nameplate on it and a phone number. Now, Quillen's is Third Light Inn, straight into Paris. Look over on your left. It's a gray building across from Ken's Supermarket. It is 987-0730 or Quillen, Quillin.com.
All right, well, November 15 at Del Mar, the Grade 3 Bob Hope Stakes was won by No Problem. A two-year-old colt from the first crop by Munnings. Running second, beating a half length, was All Right, another colt from the first crop by Munnings. And that same day at Laurel, the $100,000 Smart Halo Stakes was won by Lake Sibongo, a two-year-old filly by Munnings. Munnings is the sire of 20 two-year-old winners in his first crop. He had another one yesterday, the 20th. He ranks second only to his stablemate out at Ashford Stud. Looking at Lucky, he's got 22 among all freshman sires. Looking at Lucky is, in fact, the leading sire of two-year-old winners among all sires at Stud in North America with those 22. Among Munnings' 20 first-crop winners are five stakes horses. Munnings, son of champion sprinter Spitesdown, won graded stakes at 3 and 4, placed in grade 1 stakes at 2, 3, and 4 every year he raced. Stands at Ashford Stud for $10,000 doing a full stands of nurses, and the way they're running, you'd better book now because that $10,000 may just go up, I'll tell you that. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com. Right, well, I've got Dr. Brian Walridge, who is donating his time to old friends over there in place of the late good friend of both of us, I'm sure, great guy.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dr. Byers.
Yeah, oh, Doug. Sure, I miss Doug.
Oh, I do, too.
Yeah.
He was always fun to talk to.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Love the guy. Well, what's going on? You're in my vet segment for the day. What are we doing?
I've treated a few lately for EPM. I fear that's always a good topic since it comes up from time to time. And yeah, there have been some new information, better test for us, as we figured out here in the last couple of, really within about the last year, that we kind of got away from doing the spinal taps on the horses.
Oh, that's good.
Because the spinal taps, just a little bit of blood would make the antibody in that spinal fluid go up enough that you can get a false positive diagnosis on those horses. But there's been some good work lately showing, if you look at the antibody levels between the blood and the spinal fluid, that spinal tap can help you make the diagnosis better. So, you know, if you had a horse that really wanted to get a diagnosis on, the spinal tap's becoming valuable to us again with the new test.
No. Is that what's new about it?
That's what's new, the new test.
I want a new cure.
Well, you know, the drugs we have are all work pretty well for us.
Whoops, I'm sorry.
They're about 60 to 70% effective, all of the drugs that we have for us, to make the horse at least improve one grade neurologically. So you can 67% chance that the horse will improve at least to some degree.
Yeah, good. Good enough to race?
If you catch them early, I think the biggest things with EPM is how long has the horse shown the signs, and then how severely ataxic, how bad is the horse's gait when you start. So I think catch those horses early when they're pretty subtle, you know, because the less severely affected they are, the more that one great improvement is to get that horse back to normal.
Yeah.
Because
okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell people how they get it.
Well, there's two organisms that can cause EPM. The most common one is going to be Sarcocystis neurona, which is in possum manure. And then there's another
possum poop.
Possum
right.
poop.
Okay, gotcha. That's why people fill in lakes, ponds, somebody told me.
Right, and when they've looked at where possums like to live, they like water and they like trees.
Yeah.
So really, there's been some studies that showed if you had some water in trees, or at least the possums could go hang out, then maybe your horses would be less affected if you get
the
horses away from those areas.
But it's not raccoons.
Raccoons can carry the life cycle for that organism's pretty complex. So the raccoon, if he goes and eats some possum poop, then he picks up that organism as well. And then when if the possum eats that raccoon, then the organism completes its life cycle. So if you think a raccoon is really like a like the horse, they don't. I don't think there's any raccoons affected.
Right.
But they can carry that organism, but it can't complete its life cycle until the possum eats that dead raccoon.
Oh, nice. Okay, so what are the early signs?
Well, we call them the three A's. Although EPM can look like whatever it wants to, but you see ataxia, which is unsteady gait, or
Yeah,
it's usually asymmetrical, so usually one side of the horse is more affected than the other.
Okay.
And then after they've gone in about 10 to 14 days, you may see muscle atrophy, so loss of muscle mass. And a lot of times that's in the croup, in the gluteal muscle, that we'll see that in some horses. That's a
really
area that tends to be affected more than others. But there's a real neat textbook picture of a horse with EPM, and exactly half its tongue doesn't have any muscle mass compared to the other, and the horse had EPM.
Oh.
So it is, because it affects nerves, and it's just like cutting that nerve, going to that muscle, so that muscle will lose its muscle tone in about 10 to 14 days.
Okay, if you get treatment right away, will those nerves regenerate?
The nervous system can only do so much. So if there's severe damage there, and if it's been long standing, you know, you may get some improvement, but you won't get the horse back to
yeah. Because I'd always heard once some nerve is gone, kapooey.
Right, it's very hard for you to get back to the 100% function if there's severe damage.
So the first thing you would notice is he's kind of off balance.
That's usually what you do. See the first.
I wonder if olden times before they found out about this, what we used to call wobblers was maybe it was EPM.
Some of that would look similar. Yeah. It depends on where that lesion is in the spinal cord. Yeah, with wobblers, usually it's all four legs are affected, and usually the hind legs are more severely affected than the forelimbs because that's in the neck. You know, if they had a lesion that was up high in the spinal cord and there was enough inflammation and a horse had EPM, that may compromise the whole spinal cord where you see something similar.
Yeah.
It's definitely a rule out. You know, if it's a young horse that's right age, you know, if it's a 2-year-old and it could be a wobbler, a big, strong horse, then it's a big rule out. So we do our diagnostics. If we did the myelograms, we would put the dye into the spinal column to look for wobblers, we'd always submit that for EPM because you want to make sure you don't miss it. And actually, one of the reasons that some of the horses came up to be on spinal fluid a false positive for EPM is because they were wobblers, so their spinal cord was inflamed, so it had more leakage of those antibodies into the spinal fluid. Yeah. So that's where that new test helps you some.
About a double whammy.
Yeah. One of the best horses I ever saw run was turned out to be a wobbler. General Duke. I saw him set a world record going 1 1/8 in the Florida Derby in, what year was that?
56.
56, I believe it was. 57.
57. Yeah, 57. I was close.
Yeah, well, you're just a year off.
I was only two.
Lies about her age, too.
I was only 2 years old.
Anyway, he beat Bull Ruler. He was from that crop, you know, Bull Ruler. And then, of course, he was a Calumet horse, and they won the Derby that year anyway. With Iron Liege, but they tried to save him, you know, for something, and he ended up, they even put him back in training. He couldn't train, and they had to put him down about January of his 4-year-old season, you know.
It's a wobbler is just a really terrible problem to me because it's usually a big, nice strapping colt. It's more common to see in colts than fillies, and they're usually just some of the best. Foals that farmers produced or yearlings have produced.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in the fast growing breeds and those biggest ones.
Is it genetic?
I think the best way to describe it is it's a genetic disease with environmental influences. So in the environment be things like nutrition, because nutrition is really important because really when they've looked at studies where they looked at horses that had wobblers, and these are old classic studies. They went back and bred those horses to see could they have an increased amount of wobblers in their offspring. They found they didn't have more incidence of wobblers, but they had more things like bone cysts and OCDs. And so all that goes into bone formation, which would be a genetic problem. But you can do things like if their horse is under 1 calendar year of age, you can try and restrict their diet, really restrict the energy in their diet, but still meet their protein and their mineral needs to slow down their growth. And sometimes you can head that off.
Corn.
Right. You want to kind of pretty much just put them on a fairly basic grass hay diet, but still give them a balancer pellet to make sure they get their vitamin and minerals.
Gee whiz.
And that's a lot of that work was done here in the Lexington area to figure that out, that we could do. We always call it the starvation diet. You can do the starvation diet, try and slow down their growth and head off some of those horses from developing.
That's interesting because I know when I first came around, it was throw everything you could at those foals, creep feeders and all that kind of stuff, and they'd get epithecitis and holy cats. I mean, they were way over, you know, feeding them.
And so that's all.
That's bone stuff. Develop cartilage instead of bone.
Right, that's all developmental orthopedic disease, and we can put wobblers in with that, at least some of those ones that aren't trauma. You know, sometimes you see it from trauma to the horse. And you can't see rarely where the vertebra itself is narrowed, but usually it's a problem with the growth plate.
Yeah.
It causes the instability.
Okay, so once you diagnose something with EPM, what's the treatment?
There's a couple treatments where we could use a drug called Marquee.
Oh, how much does that cost?
That's usually around $800 to $900 for 28 days.
Yeah, I remember. You really kind of like your horse. $900 a month worth.
For the 20, but that's the whole treatment is 28 days.
Oh, just 28 days? Right. I thought they were on it forever. Oh,
but the other treatment would be the sulfa drugs that we used originally. So we used two different sulfa drugs, and in those, you want to treat the horse for at least 90 days.
How much is that as expensive as the Marquis?
That's usually about $2 to $3 a day if you'd go with the sulfa drugs.
Okay. Well, $2 to $3 a day times 30.
So
that's not nearly as expensive.
No.
But it's for 3 months.
Might not be nearly as effective either.
Well, what's the effectiveness of all that?
Pretty much all of those drugs are going to be about 60 to 70% of horses that you treat will improve one neurologic grade. So most horses will improve at least some. So that's why it's important that you want to catch them as early as possible.
Okay. So when you halt the growth of this disease, is that what you're doing?
You kill that organism. So that what the little, it's a little protozoal organism. So it gets into the spinal cord.
Right.
And while it's there, that's going to cause inflammation and swelling in the spinal cord.
Okay. So you stop that.
Right.
Does it ever come back?
Well, that's a good question. And nobody knows that. You can see, and I have a horse I've treated 3 times over about 2 years. And that's not too uncommon. So nobody knows, do you use the drugs and you've really just knocked back those organisms to where maybe they're not causing problem anymore. And then the horse gets stressed or gets immunocompromised and they come back. Or does that horse get exposed again to truly get a new infection? That's still unknown. But the bad thing is our best test for EPM is still a necropsy.
Yeah.
Which, you only get to diagnose it once that way.
I have one more question. I forgot it. See, you stand over there waving your hands at me.
I thought he was telling me to hurry up.
No. I want to get Jamie on here in just a second. So
That's interesting. I just want, I know what. Is there anything you can give them to bump up their immune system once they're off the Marquee?
Well, we use vitamin E because vitamin E is important. It does help the spinal get some healing in the spinal cord.
Right.
It's an anti-inflammatory, and it does have some immune-stimulating effects. So that's probably what we use the most. There used to be an EPM vaccine. It's not available anymore because it really wasn't shown to be efficacious.
Okay.
We really couldn't make – because horses have – if we bled most of these horses here at the training center – I'd expect well over 50% to be blood positive to EPM, which tells us they're exposed, but that doesn't mean they're
but
effective.
But they're going to get it. Yeah, okay.
So
very good.
Immune stimulants can help to when the horse is treated and definitely to address immune function when you have a stressed horse.
Fun. Interesting.
All right, Brian.
Very good.
Great.
Thank you.
Yeah. I learned something.
That's a complicated disease, so I thought that'd be a good one today.
Yeah
that's a good
one.
That's good. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. Good to see you.
So the word is, if you see a possum on the road, hit it.
Dr. Brian Waldridge, who, of course, is the vet over at Old Friends now, filling in for Dr. Doug Byers. Yes. My goodness. Okay. Introduce yourself over there to Jamie Link, if you all haven't met. He's the new director of the horse park. Yeah. All right. Well, Patio Prado is a – come on over and sit down, Jamie. Patio Prado is a grade one stakes winner and millionaire from a leading sire family and a live female family. He is one of 88 stakes winners by El Prado, sire of last year's champion sire Kitten's Joy, and with the top sire Medalla d'Oro. And Patio Prado is a half-brother to the brilliant Untappable, winner of the grade one Breeders' Cup Distaff, the grade one Kentucky Oaks, grade one Mother Goose. She's a shoe-in for an Eclipse Award. Untappable and Patio Prado out of the graded stakes winner Funhouse from a female family that's loaded with grade one winners. It's a great pedigree, and Patio Prado lived up to it. He won 5 graded stakes, including the grade one Secretariat, placed in 4 more, 3 grade one, among them the Kentucky Derby. Retired with earnings in excess of $1,721,000, he has received a full book of quality mares each year at stud since his retirement, and his 2015 stud fee is $9,500 due in the full stands and nurses. Contact Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker over at Spendthrift Farm at 859-294-0030. And when you call Spendthrift, always ask about breeding incentives. The website is SpendthriftFarm.com. I want to talk about two products that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and Reborn, and both of them were developed by the famous veterinarian Dr. Steve Allday, and both of them were endorsed by many owners, trainers, and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, are all natural, and both are test-free. Now, Lubricin, to put it simply, sustains the integrity of joint fluid, can eliminate a lot of acid injections and so forth. I tell you who uses it, Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrell and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker and a few of those people like that. So that's a good recommendation right there. They also have Lubricin for humans, incidentally. Tastes real good. I use it, and it keeps these old bones lubricated. I can get out of bed in the morning. Takes me a while, but I still do it. Anyway, and that's Reborn. You can go to, that is Lubricin. That's LUBRISYN.com. Now, Reborn, the other product developed by Dr. Alday, is a natural bovine colostrum, and it's safe and it's easy to use as a dietary supplement. Starting to use it with foals, so foaling season not too far away now. And I would start using it because it strengthens immune system. I'd start using it with the babies while they're nursing on the mare because it's high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And once I said it supports immune functions, and that's how you help them keep them healthy. So for more information about Reborn, go to reborn.com, reborne.com. You can go over to Old Friends and get some Lubricin for humans. KBC Lexington and Horse Sense down in Versailles sell both products. So there you go. Well, November 15 at Golden Gate, the Oakland Stakes was won by outside Nashville, the 4-year-old filly by Broken Vow, bred by Sienna Farms, trained by Jerry Hollendoffer. Outside Nashville, was sprinted 6 furlongs and 8-3, and that was just 2 ticks off the track record. One going away, won by 4 lengths. Stakes winner also at 2-3 is a $115,000 graduate of the OBS March sale. He is also the 11th 2014 stakes winner and 28th 2014 stakes horse by Broken Vow, who stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also standing at Pin Oak Stud is Alternation, the greatest stakes winner by Distorted Humor. And like Broken Vow, a Pin Oak homebred from the exceptional female family founded by Striker Pose. Alternation won 6 stakes, including 2 graded stakes at Oaklawn, a graded stakes at Belmont, another graded stakes at Pimlico, earned over $1 million. His first foal to do next year, also at Pin Oak, the graded stakes winner and millionaire Cowboy Cow, a proven sire of stakes winners, and the venerable Sky Classic. Inquiries to Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Alrighty, all right. Well, I'm talking now to Jamie Link, who is the new director of the Kentucky Horse Park. And welcome aboard, my
morning,
friend.
Ursel. Morning, Jackie. It's morning. Good to be here.
Well,
thanks for having me.
I appreciate you coming out.
My pleasure.
Yeah, it's you haven't been there very long now.
Well, I've had 2 or 3 different iterations with the horse park. I was deputy director there back in 2006.
And oh, okay.
Then we had a little horse show back in 2010 called the World Equestrian Games.
And did you have a hand in that?
I was the CEO of the World Equestrian Games. And from 2009, 2010. And then now this newest phase of my career with the horse park is as the new director.
Well, it sounds like you're out of the frying pan into the fire.
I've had several people tell me that. So
I got a question. Did you get the house? Do you live in the house?
No, there's also a new deputy director at the horse park. His name is Darren Ripley, and he's going to be on the park. And I live only about 10 minutes away from the park.
Oh, okay, so he's the one that gets to live over the store.
And he gets the calls at 2 a.m. when the water line breaks or something like that. So,
right.
I'm not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but I do realize that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
You were around long enough to figure that out.
I figured out a few things in 52 years, yeah.
Did John work out there? Did he live out there?
John did live on the park.
Yeah, for a while.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think for about 13 or 14 years when he became director. He lived on the park and retired back in April.
Yeah.
And then there was a search process, and I was fortunate enough to be selected back in October and started on Monday. So I have a full 5 days under my belt.
Oh, and you just started?
I just started.
Oh,
yes, ma'am.
Gee whiz. How's attendance?
Well, actually, it's very good. You know, we just concluded the National Horse Show a couple of weeks ago and had a dressage final in the Alltech Arena. And,
right.
We have a rodeo last night and tonight at the park, and Spirit of the Horse coming up next week. And, of course, you're familiar with Road to the Horse and the Rolex 3-Day and the Hunter Jumpers and the Arabians and the Egyptians and everybody. So the park's a busy place, and it's our hope to make it even busier.
Have you got your Christmas decorations up out there yet?
Yes. As a matter of fact, and I hope you'll be proud of me, Thursday night we opened up the Southern Lights, which is for the benefit of the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation, and they do a what we call the Southern Lights Stroll, and there's two phases of that. You have a 5K run, or if you want to just come out and walk with your dog or your stroller or whatever, you can do that after the runners take off.
And can a drive through?
You can drive through. That kicked off last night.
That running and walking.
Yeah, was last night. First night, it's you're on foot with your dog.
Right, right.
And then last night was you get to drive through.
And I tell you, it's really something to see. I don't know exactly. It's been going on for several years at the park, and it's one of the big fundraisers for the Horse Park Foundation. Of course, their mission is to help the horse park and have several thousands of cars come through every year. But I think we had close to 1,000 people there on Thursday night.
Did you?
Wow,
really?
That's really good.
And, on a cold night, but I completed the 5K. I won't give you my time because it was under my age, no, but I was only about a third of the way through when the lead runners were coming back. So
warming down the smart.
That's Alex. Right. That's right.
Yeah, that's the Southern Lights is part of Christmas here. You know, they've been out there forever, though, at least 20 years.
It's been
a long
time, right? And the horse park staff and the foundation staff. They spend about 2 months getting this thing put together, and I can't say enough about the effort they put into it, but it's become a tradition here in Central Kentucky, I think, and something that we'd encourage everyone to come out and see.
Now, how much? It's by a carload, isn't it?
Yes, ma'am, and I don't know the exact prices. I'd be
Seems
afraid
to me it used to
cite
be.
A price.
It used to be $10, I think, for
$10.
A car.
And I'm not sure.
Should we've been doing
is that what 15? It is? Okay. But you can check our website and the whole
She's probably got it.
I've got it somewhere.
Well, you have done all your research, so.
Well, I do all. I announce whatever's going on.
Like okay.
We do that every week.
Okay, great.
We have been forever.
Well, thank you for that.
For years.
Well, yeah, well, it's,
but it's in here somewhere.
It's a great anyway. Field time.
Yes, sir. Yeah, right.
Thanks, Ursel. I like you too. Gee.
Well, where are you from originally, Jamie?
I was actually born in Harrison County up in Cynthiana, not
really?
Far from here.
Well, we live in Bourbon County. Then, so we're...
Okay. I have lots of family in Bourbon County.
Oh, do you?
Link family. Yes, sir.
Okay.
With farm family, tobacco farmers and some cattle. And then I grew up from a young age in Anderson County over Lawrenceburg. And,
The
Berg.
My sister was principal over there at Emma Ward.
Oh, really?
Many years. Yeah.
Well, I left there in 1980 and went off to UK and spent 5 years. I was on the 5-year plan at UK. Then
I gives you an extra whack of student loans.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
You got to get that extra in it.
And thank goodness my father, I had to work during college as well, so I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah.
It taught me a lot of good life lessons. And then started with state government right out of college, working for the State Parks Department, and got to travel all over the state.
Really? And, what'd you do for them?
I started out as a business manager. I lived for 2 years at Pine Mountain State Park down in
Did
Bell County.
You really?
Oh, a little over 2 years.
The lover's leap.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a great treasure for our state, and the Parks Department has been such a great tourism draw for Kentucky. You know, tourism is the third leading industry in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So it's very important to our economy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Pine Mountain, people go down there from somewhere else, they think a mountain. And Pine Mountain is, God, how many miles
it's
long?
Absolutely.
It's a whole, it goes forever.
And it's one of the prettiest places. We're very blessed in this state to have the lakelands out west to the bluegrass region and the lakes in southern Kentucky, but then the mountains in east Kentucky. It's a great treasure for us. And, of course, we're looking at new tourism opportunities in east Kentucky. The governor, who I just finished working for with the SOAR initiative and trying to diversify the economy of east Kentucky, with the downturn in the coal industry.
Mm. Coal industry may come back.
Well, absolutely.
After this election, we may see it.
But we're still trying to find ways to diversify the economy of East Kentucky and find new ways to generate tourism, economic
development. That's a tough one.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But
it really is because it's coal is what they got.
Right. Yeah.
Jackie used to live down in that area. Before
Ursel. Right. I wasn't from there.
It's absolutely beautiful country. There's a great horse culture in East Kentucky as well.
It's got a lot of, used to have a lot of Shetlands old mine ponies running wild up in those mountains.
Well, trail riding is a big industry in East Kentucky. We want to promote that and enhance that. And,
yeah.
The First Lady of Kentucky and the governor have been great proponents of trails across the state. And
yeah, we used to ride the trails up there that were already made. They were logging trails that were wide enough to drive a truck.
Right.
And you could ride for miles up there. It really was.
Well, the state just finished a. Does that mean we need to take off? No, we just finished a trail down in Johnson and McGoffin County. There was no rail bed.
Uh-huh.
And the state converted that into a biking, running, hiking, and horse trail. Yeah. And it's drawing a lot of people there. You know, there's Virginia Creeper over in Virginia and the Little Miami Trail up in Ohio. So there's a great trail movement across the country. And, of course, we have the Legacy Trail here in Lexington and Fayette County.
Yeah.
And we're talking to the folks in Scott County about enhancing that trail through the park, through the horse park, on up into Scott County.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be really good.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing the tourism that you generate from a trail like that.
Yeah. Let me interrupt you a minute. I got to pay a bill.
Absolutely.
All right. Before Larned posted a 117 Bauer to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, a 115 to take the Grade 1 Stephen Foster, a 110 the day he won the Grade 1 Whitney Invitational. Brilliant speed and the ability to carry it a long way. He won the Breeders' Cup Classic after a bitter duel with Mucho Macho Man, 10 furlongs and 2 minute flat. And besides his 3 Grade 1 wins, he won 4 other stakes to accumulate earnings of more than $4,471,000. From the famed Mr. Prospector Sire Line, Fort Larned, that of a daughter of champion Sire Broadbrush and champion race mare Bay Accor. Winner of over $2,961,000. His first foals are due next year, and his stud fee is $12,500. Stands and Nurses, stands at Edina Springs, Kentucky, home also of his Breeders' Cup Classic rival and future Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Mucho Macho Man. Mucho Macho Man won the Breeders' Cup Classic and yet another spirited duel, this time with Will Take Charge, and he had put together earnings of more than $5,600,000 upon his retirement to Edina Springs, Kentucky. He's to stand his first season of stud next year for $15,000, payable when the foal stands and nurses. For more on the stands over at Edina Springs, call the farm at 859-987-1798 and see the website at AdinaStallions.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
Well, Pioneer of the Nile is the nation's number one ranked second crop sire, and as such, his 2015 stud fee has climbed to $60,000. Carol Prince, from the first crop of Pioneer of the Nile, is to stand his first season at stud next year, $10,000 live foal, and he is one of the runners that established his sire at stud. He was a superior two-year-old. His trainer, Kieran McLaughlin, described him as, quote, a great two-year-old and one of the best three-year-olds I've ever been around, unquote. He won at First Asking at Belmont and then captured the Grade 2 Nashua Stakes, and in his third start was a head-bobbing second in the Grade 2 Remsen. He was an impressive five-length winner of the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes in his first start at 3. Then he finished a game fourth while injured in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. It's a great sire line. Pioneer of the Nile, of course, is by Empire Maker, the son of Unbridled. Carol Prince's dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Holy Bull, and Carol Prince has a superb confirmation to go with it. He was a $250,000 sales yearling. Carol Prince is at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. Talking with Jamie Link, who has been on the job over to Kentucky Horse Parkers Director for 5 days now. Have you drawn a paycheck yet?
I have not.
Oh,
I'm hoping they'll pay me.
After this show, they may not.
They may not. I hope I don't mess up.
Well, this whole show is messed up usually, you're pretty.
Then I'll fit right in.
There you go.
How big is the staff out there now?
It's thin. It's a very thin staff, but a very dedicated, and it's a wonder all the work that they do. It's a 1,200-acre property, and several tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars worth of facilities on it, and a staff of about right now, I think it's around 68 people to manage all that.
Nice.
So they do a yeoman's job each and every day, And my job is to help them get the resources they need to be successful and hopefully get it to where we can get them some more help, to where they're not having to work as hard as they have to, lots of overtime and things like that. And, of course, with all the events that go on, especially through the spring, summer, and fall months, right. They really do some backbreaking work. But they're very dedicated staff. A lot of them have been there for several years, which I think shows their dedication and their passion for the park. And I'm really glad to be a part of that team.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get somebody on from over there that has dealt with the retirees.
Sure.
And I'll give you a call and see who you recommend to come on.
Absolutely. And anytime you'd like us to come over and talk about what's going on at the park or anything, we're happy to do that.
Well, anytime y'all want to come on.
Okay.
Yeah, just come on over. Stop in.
Yeah, well, we'd love to. That's one of the horse park's been there since the mid-1970s. I guess the first concept of the horse park started in the late 60s. And finally came to fruition with the World Eventing Championships in 1978, so 36 years ago. But one of my goals is to really make the horse park a part of Central Kentucky and draw a lot of the local people out to the park. I've been on the Rolex board for a few years, and I guess last year our demographic research showed that 80% of the people that came to the Rolex event were from out of state.
Well, they snatch up the tickets, I'll tell you.
They do.
Yeah. Are they on sale yet?
Yes, they've just gone on sale.
See, they've just gone on sale.
Yes.
A friend of mine that has a mare that I train for her daughter.
Right.
She puts it on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Rolex, you got 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And zip, they're gone. I got to go last year because she had an extra ticket.
Well.
And invited me.
And she's from Michigan.
And she's from Michigan. Yes.
But it really shows, I think, the national reach of the horse park as well as the international reach of the horse park. And one thing I really want to try to do is reintroduce the horse park to Fayette County, Scott County, Bourbon County, to the local people. You know, our campground, surprisingly enough, a lot of local people from this area do a lot of camping at the horse park because they just love to come out on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Even though they only live 30 minutes away or something, they love to come out and relax and spend the weekend at the horse park campground. We have one of the finest campgrounds in the state. So
I've been out there with dog shows in the campground.
Do they still run the state cross country?
Yes, sir. That just concluded recently. I think it was just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I believe it was.
They did that.
Well, Scott County had one. Before that, about 2 weeks before that.
Now, this was a regional.
Last week.
This is a regional.
Our daughter used to run it.
And we're going to host the state wrestling championships next year. And the horse park, you know, we always want to stay true to our equestrian mission. That's the Kentucky horse park.
Yeah.
But it's also a major event facility. So concerts and trade shows and conventions. We just had an unveiling of four new cranes by Link Belt, built here in Lexington, and they just held an event at the Alltech Arena. And you know, we really want to.
What they do with cranes?
They did a big unveiling to show off their new equipment that they're
not the birds, the equipment.
The equipment.
Cranes. I'll be darned.
They fit in the Alltech Arena to do that. So anything we can do, you know, the Commonwealth, the General Assembly, and the Governor put a lot of money into the park, and it's our job to sell it. And make sure that place is as busy as it can be and draw people to this area for the economic development that it brings to Lexington, Fayette County, and Central Kentucky.
Well, the Kentucky State Racing Commission is based there.
Yes, sir.
Oh, all
TOBA, KTA.
Pony Club, right. Dressage Federation, the International Equestrian, whatever that French word is.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there's 32 or 33 national equestrian headquarters there.
Yeah.
You just called off a lot of them. But 32 and the association, American Association of Equine Practitioners is building a new facility
there
on the park. So it's really, in my estimation, it's the center of the sport horse world, certainly. But we also want to enhance our partnership with Thoroughbred World and a lot of Thoroughbreds there for eventing. And I heard on your program earlier talking about some of the three-day eventing horses, the hunters and things like that. And, you know, Thoroughbred is a signature Kentucky product.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. I used to do a lot of stuff for Pony Club, of course, and riding for Hope and stuff like that. Now, what if somebody just wants to volunteer generically for the horse park?
Absolutely.
Can they call up and say, I want to be a volunteer?
Absolutely. And much like the World Equestrian Games, where we had close to 3,000 volunteers.
Oh, there you go.
With a staff of 68 to 70 people, right. We can't do a lot of the things we do at the horse park without some very dedicated volunteers. And they volunteer through the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation, but they perform services for the park. And they're an invaluable resource to the park, and we couldn't do what we do without them. So are you going to be calling Jackie? You're going to be calling to volunteer?
Sure, I'll call.
Okay.
I'll volunteer.
All right.
I did I used to do a lot more, and then my daughter got hurt, but now she's moved to a facility that she loves, and it's wonderful. I'll be able to do more again, but used to do High Hope Steeplechase and all that kind of stuff. But generically, I think that would be fun because you could be on call, you know, if somebody needs you for some this, that, or the other. I think that'd be fun.
Of course, you've got Haggard's right across the road from you there.
Yes, sir. They're a great partner with the park, as is Rude and Red.
Do they volunteer their services?
They do. A lot of their services they do from a benefactor standpoint and support the foundation and the park. And obviously, the equine veterinarian industry here in Central Kentucky is world renowned, and I don't think you can find any better anywhere in the world.
Nowhere.
So this again, we're the horse capital of the world, and that's not just thoroughbred racing; it's sport horse as well.
Yeah. Now it thins out pretty quick because you're going to have games going through the winter, and you're having snowbird dressage going through the winter. Anything big coming up like in January or February? It's so cold.
Well, that's one of the things that having the indoor arena really, really made the park a year-round facility.
Mm-hmm.
I think Snowbird used to be in the covered arena.
Yeah.
But it's not conditioned. So it was cold. And I'm not exactly sure.
You'll have to forgive me.
Well, I'm saying that, but with 5 days under my belt, I'm still not up to speed on a lot of the things. But I don't know if that's in the Alltech arena or not. That's one of the things we want to
covered arena.
It's in the covered arena, so dress warmly.
Yes.
When you come. But that's one of the things we really are driving to do is to increase our wintertime business with the advent of the Alltech arena, and that's been in place now for about 5 years. And we really need to sell that, and of course we have got the rodeo out there last night and tonight, and that'll be a big draw. And then other events I mentioned earlier, Spirit of the Horses next month, and then we have state wrestling coming up, I think, in January or February.
Is the gift shop open for Christmas now? The gift shop is open for
Christmas, and a lot of great items. I just walked through there Thursday night at the Southern White Stroll. It was open, and you couldn't stir them with a stick. There were so many people in there.
Now, when you go out to drive through Southern Lights, where do you park if you want to go into the
the visitor center and the gift shop and the museum?
Didn't they have ponies or something last year?
Yes, there's pony rides. And you can, when you enter Southern Lights, you enter through the campground entrance off of Ironworks Pike.
Okay.
And then you drive through the lighted course. And then it'll bring you up to the main parking lot of the horse park there by the visitor center. So once you've completed the lights, you can get out and come in. And fortunately, I ran Thursday night rather than going to eat funnel cakes and kettle corn, which I love dearly. But
I love funnel cakes.
So you can get out after you drive through the lights. You can get out and have a funnel cake and do some shopping in the gift shop. And there's other vendors that come every year, and they set up there and they're selling their crafts and things like that. And there's music and food, and it's just a great family time.
Yeah, it's a lot more than just driving through, although that's enough. It used to be. That was it.
Yes.
But that other stuff is
there's a lot more to do
fun.
Now. There's a petting zoo and pony rides for the kids and everything.
Kids
so
love that.
It's a very family friendly event.
Yeah, I think that's outstanding.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
We got any other announcements?
Hopefully, I'll be there Monday. I planned to be. But it's just been a real pleasure to come on with you, and thank you for giving us this
opportunity. Anytime. And send one of those people over here to play with Cigar. I want to talk to them. And John Henry was mean. And at the end, he got real sweet and mellow. I want to ask him about that.
Well, they're big hams, I've learned. And they're good, and they know it.
Yeah.
And Cigar, we just had a very nice service for him a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And had one of the estimates I heard was about 300 people showed up for that service on a bitter cold,
awful cold day.
Oh, Michael Bullen was there.
Yeah, Michael was there.
And if I can put in a brief plug, we're working on doing a bronze statue of Cigar.
Nice.
And we're soliciting donations, so anybody would like to help contribute to that, we'd certainly appreciate that, because we certainly want to honor him like we did John Henry and Ali Sheba.
Yeah.
And that's the Hall of Champions is a real treasure of the horse park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jamie, thank you.
Thank you, Ursel Jackson.
Anytime.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Let us know. And I just pull what I pull is off the event calendar.
Okay. Okay.
And if you've ever got anything extra, just have them call me.
Amy.
Is Amy the one at the horse park, or is that Keeneland?
Amy might be at Keeneland.
Yeah, it's Keeneland.
Nicole Rivera at the horse park.
Okay, she just emailed me, and I'll just say it.
Absolutely.
Help out.
We'll stay in close touch with you.
Good.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Thank you guys for having me on. My pleasure.
Yeah.
Ursel, nice
to
meet you.
See you.
Stay warm.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
See you, Jackie.
Well, the two top-priced broodmares sold at Keeneland November breeding stock sale were both in fold to the cover of Warfront. One sold for $3,900,000, the other for $3,600,000. Also, the two highest-priced in-fold mares at Facey Tipton November sale were in fold to Warfront. Both bought $3 million. Warfront, highly regarded both here and abroad, stands at Claiborne Farm for $150,000 doing the fold stands and nurseries. There, too, is his grade one winning son, Data Link. Now, Data Link, a winner of 2, 3, and 4, won the grade one Makers 46 Mile, won the grade two Mammoth Stakes, the grade two Citation, the grade three Canadian Turf, placed in three more graded stakes, including another grade one, and he earned over $831,000. He's out of a stakes winning mare from a superb female family, and his first foals are due next year. Data Link stands for $7,500, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibornfarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com. That's the website for Hill and Reagan Parker, who have been in the real estate business now for about 13, 14 years, something like that. They know what they're doing. And they're real horse people. And they understand what you would want to have if you're looking for a horse farm that'll just suit your needs. And they've got a great website at lexhorsefarms.com. And they've got great listings, of course. They've got outstanding variety of locations, sizes, and more important, prices on their websites. And they're horsemen, and they know exactly what you need, if you're getting the size of your farm you want and so forth, and exactly what you need and what horsemen would need. They've got listings in Fayette and Bourbon and Jesmond and Woodford Scott, Clark County. As I say, they can help you just find the perfect farm just for you. And if you want to list your farm, they're great people to do business with, and you can they work real hard for you. And I know they just sold up. We had a friend down in Bourbon County, had a lovely farm that she'd had for a number of years.
Yeah.
And he got that sold far, and just no time.
Months.
You know,
it was
can't
quick.
Guarantee that you're going to sell yours that quick, but he got that one that done.
Yeah.
You know,
that's great.
They work real hard, and she was ecstatic about working with them.
She was. She said they made her feel so confident. She was worried, you know, and all that kind of stuff. All that went away. It turned out to be a nice experience.
Yeah, and that was a friend of ours. I don't know if she wanted us to use her name or not, but anyway. Anyways, it's Hill and Reagan Parker, and I tell you what, they've got farms all over. They got a lovely place right out here up the road on the Paris Pike. They've got farms down in Georgetown, over Georgetown on Paynes Mill Road, Newtown Pike in Georgetown, over on Pisgah Pike and Paynes Mill Road. Boy, there's a bunch of lovely horse farms on that road. So give them a call at 859-608-8039. 608-8039. That's election and number. That's Hill and Reagan Parker. They're great people to do business with. You won't find any nicer people to do business with. So I recommend them highly. Well, Sprightstown has ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list for five straight years. That's one reason his stud fees climbed to $80,000. Country Day, standing at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm, is by Sprightstown. He's out of the greatest stakes winner hidden assets, a triple stakes producer, and a daughter of the top sire, Mount Livermore. Well, he's had 77 stakes winners. His second dam, a graded stakes winner and graded stakes producer, is by Roberto. And this is the famed female family of Aladar and Grand Slam. Country Day was a versatile sprinter, won stakes on dirt, grass, and synthetic. Could run on anything. Finished second in the now Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint on his way to earning over $500,000. Also standing at Crestwood Farm are the stallions Bullet Train, General Quarters, Get Stormy, No Biz Like Show Biz, Taste of Paradise, Tis Deja Vu. Stop by and see him. Just give the farm a call at 859-252-3770 and go to the website. It's crestwoodfarm.com. The Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. My good friend Chancy Morris, incidentally, the office is over at the horse park.
How about that?
And he likes us to plug the Kentucky breeders of stakes winners over the previous weekend. So I'm going to do that right now. Down at Churchill Downs, I should say, from where we are, over at Churchill Downs, the $200,000 Mrs. Revere Stakes, Grade 2, was won by Sparkling Review, bred by Edward A. Seltzer. The Bob Hope Grade 3, where else would that be? At Del Mar. No problem on that. No problem. A 2-year-old from the first crop by Munnings. And running second that day, incidentally, was All Right, All Right, who is also from the first crop by Munnings. They're just a half in length separated the two. No problem, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Mark C. Farrell. The Kenny Knowles Stakes at Gulfstream Parks. Speechify won that one. That's a Harlan's Holiday, bred by Totem Thoroughbreds. The Dizzy Arnaz Stakes, of course, that's another Del Mar Stakes. Achiever's Legacy won that, bred by Richard D. Maynard. The Frank D. Francis Memorial Dash Stakes up at Law. Big pot on this one, $350,000. Zebros won that, bred by the EICO Stables. The Richard W. Small Stakes at Law winner was Storming Monarco, bred by John Oxley. The City of Law Stakes at Law. Where else? Went to Griff, bred by Seagull Associates. That doesn't sound like a Kentucky breeder, but that thing was foaled in Kentucky. The James F. Lewis III Stakes winner at Law went to Thinko Charlie. He's by Indian Charlie, bred by Candyland Farm. The Smart Halo Stakes at Law winner was Lake Sebago, and that is another 2-year-old from the first crop by Munnings. That horse is on his way. This one bred by a Bourbon County outfit, Mockmar Hall. That's Kerry and Craig Brodsden. The Oakland Stakes at Golden Gate Fields. I always loved that track. Spent many a day going to Golden Gate. Outside Nashville won it. That's a gilding. He's a 4-year-old by Broken Vow, bred by Sienna Farms. The City of Phoenix Stakes at Turf Paradise was won by Maker or Breaker. Maker or Breaker is an empire maker, bred by Dan McFarlane trained by Dan McFarlane, bred by Hal J. Earnhardt. So those are the winners of stakes, Kentucky bred winners of stakes over the past weekend. Now what we're going to do? Going to break?
Yeah. Sally and maybe.
Oh, okay. Moving right along, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, let me catch up on a couple of things here that I haven't done. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center. What are you scribbling about over here? winners that were trained at the Thoroughbred Center over the weekend
over the last week. Well, there haven't been many opportunities. Everything's been closed. Weather has shut down the tracks. You can't win races if they're not running anywhere. Of course, Churchill Downs is canceled 3 or 4 days, and so did Mountaineer. They didn't run all week. We did have a couple of winners, and that's it since last weekend. Ted Lucas won one at Mountaineer on the 15th. What day was that? That was last Saturday night, wasn't it? And then yesterday at Churchill Downs, Latin Lover won for Emma Mulvey. And Emma trains here. She gets on her own. We had her on a show a couple of weeks ago. She gets on her own horses and does a very good job.
She is good.
Yeah,
she's good.
You can see when you watch a ride out here. Well, in fact, that's one reason I had her on the show. I'm watching a ride out here, and she looks good on a horse. Looks good off a horse, as far as that goes. But anyway, she won a race yesterday at Churchill Downs with Hot Latin Lover. And Hot Latin Lover, I think, paid $90-something dollars.
Oh, is that right? That's wonderful.
Yeah. She didn't bet anything for me, but other than that. So that's what happened there. Stakes races today, the graded stakes, let's see, they run in a couple of graded stakes, and then at Gulfstream, the Tropical Turf Handicap and the My Charmer, they run in the Cardinal Handicap up at Churchill Downs. We're going to get Steve Moody on here in just a second, as soon as my Ressi over here tells me when we're going to do it. They're running two graded stakes. They're running more than two stakes down at Delta Downs today, but the two big ones, of course, the jackpot stakes. It's just a grade three race, but it's got a $1 million jackpot, and that is a lot of money. It's a two-year-old. Then they're running the Delta Downs Princess Stakes down there. And out at Del Mar today, it is the Red Carpet handicap out there. The Delta Down jackpot has drawn a field. Well, they'll just run 10. There's 12 eligible for it. Who's a favorite in here? Mr. Z is a favorite in there. Oh, that's a Malibu Moon that Mr. Lucas trains. And what else is in here? Here's a Temple City. Saratoga Heater's in there. That's a horse that's doing real well over at Spendthrift Farm, Temple City. And another one bred by Machmer Hall, incidentally. They do a real good job down there. The Delta Down Princess Stakes favorite is the Breeders' Cup Doodle Phillies winner, Take Charge Brandy, daughter of Giants Causeway. Up at Churchill today, big field in that one up there, 16. 14 will go, I guess, because it's on the grass, going a mile and an eighth for fillies and mares. And the favorite in there, a lukewarm favorite, is I'm Already Sexy down at Tropical Park, a Tropical Park Turf Handicap. The feature is valid by Medaglia d'Oro and the My Charmer at Gulfstream. Another grade three, the favorite there is Daring Kathy, who's the 5-2 favorite. And the Red Carpet Handicap out at Del Mar. Another lukewarm favorite at 7-2 is Appealing Cat by Successful Appeal. Winning Rhythm's in there. It's a Giant's Causeway. Anyway, those are those stakes. And let me catch up on this right now, and we'll go from there. First Defense and Ms. Mass have won grade one stakes winners this year. Close hatches from the first crop by First Defense. Won three grade one stakes. She has won a total of five grade one stakes altogether. Now she's earned over $2,707,000. Now First Defense is also the sire of the Group Three stakes winner Don Danielle in his first crop, with five others that won a place in stakes. Now Mizzen Mass is the sire of two grade one winners this year. He's sired seven grade one winners total, including two winners of the Breeders' Cup. The winners of three Breeders' Cup races with two winners of Breeders' Cup. One of them, Misdirection, won it twice. Two have earned over $1 million. Misdirection's earned over $2 million. The list of broodmares that have been bred to First Defense since his first crop came out running reads like a who's who of racing. And you're going to be hearing a whole lot more from him, I'll tell you that. He's loaded. First Defense is a grade one winner by Unbridled Song, out of grade one winner, Honest Lady. She's the daughter of Seattle Slough. And Broodmare of the Year, Troussard. His stud fee is 10,000 live foal. Grade one winner, Mizzen Mass by Champion Sarkozyn. Offers a great outcross to most North American line mares, and he stands for 25,000. bifold. Both of them stand over Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke and Fried. See the website at judmont.com. Well, Keeneland's November breeding stock sale was the scene of a weanling that sold for $3 million. That's a North American record, and that youngster was raised at Dell Ridge Farm on products from McCauley Brothers. The highest-priced colt at Keeneland's September yearling sale, $2.2 million, was raised at Clear Sky Farm, and the top-priced filly, $1.5 million, for a youngster raised over at Royal Oak Farm, and they, too, like Dell Ridge Farm, were raised on McCauley products. It's been another outstanding year for McCauley clients at the races also, where runners raised on McCauley products have won 179 stakes, 95 of them graded stakes, 25 grade one. For maximum results at the sales and at the races, start them the right way, and the right way is with products from McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to devote 100% of their time and research on feeds and supplements designed exclusively for the horse. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website, MacaulayBros.com. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, that's where it is all about the horse. Daily Racing Form Sunday Editions now on your newsstand, and as always, it's loaded. Jay Hoveday's got an article in there, talks about Cary Grant, of all people, because they're running their stakes named after Mr. Grant on Sunday out at Del Mar, and he was a great horse fan, Cary Grant.
I knew he was perfect. I knew it.
Joe Nevels is writing about the First Crop weanling sales. Weanlings by First Crop Studs, of course, out at Keeneland and at Fasig Tipton, Kentucky. John Sparkman's got an excellent article in there on the Sparkling Reviews. Win in the Mrs. Review. She's by Lemon Drop Kid, so he's really writing about a Lemon Drop Kid and his family and what he's done. There's a history challenge in there. I haven't had a chance to really take that test. I always fiddle around with that. Every now and then I get something. You get something right. It's kind of like watching that program. What's that program you all like to watch? Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Jackie's a big Jeopardy fan.
Yeah,
and
I'm waiting to see if I can, if I know the answer to anything someday.
I don't even know the questions, mostly.
They mumble a lot.
Right, anyway. Also, they got PPs from Churchill Fairgrounds, which opened yesterday, incidentally, Woodbine, Aqueduct, and Gulfstream Park. And here's what you should really do. Sign up for Daily Racing Forum's breeding newsletter. Go to drf.com/breeding today and sign up for that. It's a great publication. It is the Bible of racing, as we all know.
Sally Van Horse, whether it's across the county or across the country, when you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All righty. Well, I have Steve Moody with me today. Steve, of course, as everybody should know by now, is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper's Sheet, which is published by Bloodstock Research Information Services, and they run in the, as we just said a minute ago, the Cardinal Handicap, grade three up at Churchill today. Big field up there today, Steve.
Yeah, so the overflow 16 drawn. You got a couple of scratches, a couple outsiders, the three Frivolous, the seven Imposing Grace. So both of the AEs will run, a couple more outsiders, the 15 Annabird, 16 Honey Lake, both of those will run. So we'll still have a field of 14 fillies and mares going here, a mile and an eighth today on the turf. Turf is rated as good. $100,000 is the purse. This is a pretty good field. You got some horses that run grade one competition. I like the horse on, that was on, gonna be on the outside. Now he's, or now she's gonna be a couple spots in. That's the 14 Royal Fury. ran into a pretty tough group up at Woodbine in the grade one E.P. Taylor, and ran pretty well in there, especially considering that she ran into some trouble there in the late part of the race. Looks to be in a little softer spot today, dropping into a grade three, and kind of look for her to be running at the end. Julian Leperoux, who won, I believe he won both of the stakes last Saturday. He's got the mount in here for Brian Lynch. The one horse, I'm Already Sexy, I thought ran a big race. Yeah, she went out to the West Coast on Breeders' Cup weekend and ran in the Gold Dakova. That was on Sunday, actually, I believe, or Sunday of Breeders' Cup weekend, and led most of the way and tired a little bit at the end there. Finished fourth. She's also looks to be in a little easier spot here. 3-1 on the morning line for Wayne Cavallotto and Calvin Burrell. I expect her to show some speed from the rail. I think she's going to be probably the catch late. Another horse on the outside, Northern Passion for Mark Cassie. Is going to be running at the end. I think she's definitely a factor here, 6-1, and would not be surprised if her, she's going to be right in it with Royal Fury when they get to the final furlong. But very tough race, big field, lots of some of these closures are going to have to work their way around, in a bulky field, so that's always a little bit dicey, but I'm going to go with one of those late runners, the 14 Royal Fury. We'll go 14-1-13 in the Cardinal Handicap.
All right, Steve. Did you get to watch that game last night?
Yeah.
I don't get Fox South for some reason, and I think it's the only game that they're going to We'd call up, see how much it's going to cost, and they're going to tack $11 onto my bill. And I think that's probably the only game it'll be on Fox South all year. So that's the heck.
Yeah, it was the last one. They had a, from what I understand, that there was one game to be filled on the contract that they had with Fox South. So that'll be the last, probably the last game they have, maybe ever, on Fox South. Everything else is going to be from here on will be either one of the ESPNs or the SEC network or the national game on, CBS.
So. Yeah. I listened to Tom, and he calls a heck of a game. He really does. It was fun listening to him.
And, yeah, I listen to him even though I'm watching, and even though he's ahead of the TV.
Yeah. Well, you know what's coming.
Yeah, well, it's kind of nice because you can listen and then you can look up to watch it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Yeah, if you're sort of multitasking, doing something else, you can just when something exciting happens, you can look up to watch and then go back.
Yeah.
Whatever it was you were doing.
Well, it's after that game against Kansas. I tell you, I've been watching Kentucky play. I saw the Fabulous Five play in the Alumni Gym. But I tell you what, I have never in my life seen a game like that one. That was unbelievable. And, I'm glad to see him revert back to, being not – so it won't get us too high on them, And last night it sounded like, I didn't get to see it, but it sounded like they were a little more lethargic than they were against Kansas.
Well, they let BU knocked in some threes. I think they had, five or six threes in the first half, and that kind of kept them in it, and You know, they did a better job in the second half and sort of pulled away late to, you know, win by 20.
Yeah. Well, against Kansas couldn't get a clear shot in the second half.
No, they just couldn't make anything. They couldn't, you know, inside they were getting their shot rejected, and they couldn't make an outside shot. They couldn't make a free throw. You know, we put them on the line. Well, they were in the bonus with 15 minutes to go in the second half, but they couldn't even make a free throw. So it was, it was one of those nights for Kansas. They couldn't have thrown it in the ocean if they were on the pier.
Well, I had a feeling the Kentucky played last night. If they get on the road against a hot team and they play like that, that's how they'll get beat.
Yeah, they're going to face a lot of teams that play zone, pack it in, force them to shoot outside. I still don't think that's going to be – I don't think this team is going to be a great outside shooting team. They were under 30% going into the game last night, and, you know, hopefully they'll improve, but that might be, you know, that was kind of the Achilles heel of
you
know, Calipari's first team here, you know, the John Wall team. And
well, Booker's streaky, but he can fill it up when he's on.
That caught him, you know, that got caught when they played West Virginia and had that terrible shooting day.
That
may be the thing for this team, but hopefully they'll maybe their defense will carry him through.
Yeah. Okay, well, fun thinking, watching them anyway. Okay, yep. Steve, this has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can go to brisnet.com. Oh, incidentally, Steve, I don't know what time that Louisville game is next week. They haven't announced the time on it yet, so once again, we'll make an announcement. I should have been doing it right along. If it's a noon game, we will be on from 8 to 10.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to determine it today. I believe when that game is going to be. I think there's going to be an announcement sometime today.
Yeah, well, that's a little late for me.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve, thank you. You can buy incidentally, you can buy that Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. Just go to brisnet.com or wherever they sell a daily issue form. You can pick one up out of Keeneland. And thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Russell.
Well, Albertus Maximus was a superior runner from a family of superior runners. He won the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, getting a distance of 133-2. He won the Grade 1 $500,000 Don Handicap, set a new track record for a mile in the Windy Sands Handicap at Del Mar. He earned $1,328,230. Interestingly enough, Daredevil, a half-brother to Albertus Maximus, won this year's Grade 1 Champagne Stakes as a two-year-old, and he was the second betting choice to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But he had a nightmare trip that day. He'll be back. Chase the Wild Wind of the Dam of Albertus Maximus and Daredevil is a half-sister to the Group 1 winner King Charlemagne, to the Group Stakes winner Misha Heer, and to the Dam of the Grade 1 winner Here Comes Ben. Out of the Grade 1 winner, Race the Wild Wind. Albertus Maximus stands at Shadwell Farm with the stallions De Hare, Interdab, and Invisor. All of them are proven sires of graded stakes winners. For more information, contact stallion manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585 and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigree reports on more than 2 million foals for a low annual cost? Then BristNet's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand at BristNet.com/APR and optimized for tablet and mobile. The APR Online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on North American thoroughbreds dating back more than a century. The annual price, $275. Visit BristNet.com/APR and discover why American Produce Records has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR Online.
Well, first crop weanlings by gemologists have sold for $185,000, $125,000, $115,000, $110,000 this year. That's because they look and they act like runners, and that geologist is well remembered as a superior runner himself. He was an undefeated 2-year-old. He won the testing grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes that year. Came back as a 3-year-old to verify his class with a victory in the grade 1 Wood Memorial. That particular race, incidentally, has been won by a long list of horses that went on to become top sires. Tappet, Empire Maker, Unbridled Song, to mention but three. Doesn't hurt the gemologist is a son of the big horse sire Hall of Famer Tisnell, and that he is one of 3 stakes winners produced by a daughter of Mr. Prospector. A superb individual, he was a $310,000 weanling. Gemologist is siring superb individuals, and he stands for $15,000, doing a full stand of nurses at Windstar Farm. Call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson at 859-873-1717. See the website windstarfarm.com. All righty. It's time for Jackie's announcements.
Okay, I'm ready. December 5th and 6th this weekend at the Horse Park, it's a rodeo. December 5th and 6th is the highly praised production of The Spirit of the Horse. And this is the second year. It's got world-class horses, including 3-time USDF Horse of the Year, G.P. Raymeister, and top dressage riders, including, what did I do with that, Ressie? Ressie's daughter. Are you ready? Hannah Rose will be dancing with Barbara Ann's School of Dance at the Spirit of the Horse December 4th and 5th. That's wonderful, Ress. Yeah. Betsy went to...
You're not dancing with Ressie. Yeah.
No. Uh-uh. He'll walk.
He'll be at work.
Yeah, right. Betsy went to Barbara Ann's, and what's so wonderful about that kind of stuff is you get the most darling pictures with all those fruit costumes. So good luck to Hannah Rose and Barbara Ann's School of Dance. And the prices for that are 15 for adults, 10 for children over 12. Children under 12 are free. Saturday, December 6th at the Covered Arena, begin Snowbird Dressage. It's a sanctioned dressage show, introductory training first, second, and third, and above levels. For more information, call Julie Congleton at 846-4889 or go to KentuckyDressageAssociation.com. And then all through the winter, Julie has that dressage thing once a week where you go out and take a test and they grade you, and what is it, like $10 or something. It's really worthwhile. December 13th and 14th is Snowball Series Mounted Games Get Started. It's a mounted game schooling competition. They beginner, novice, intermediate, masters, fossils, and green pony divisions. Riders compete in teams, pairs, etc. This event is part of the Snowball Series. You can ride in all the competitions. It goes through the winter. It's a lot of fun. You're inside at the Covered Arena, and that's fun. Okay. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club Free Christmas Festival for Farm Employees. That's Tuesday, December 8th, Wednesday, December, no, 9th. Tuesday, December 9th, Wednesday, December 10th. If you want more information on this, 219-0670. Sports broadcaster Janine Edwards of ESPN and ABC is going to host the 44th annual Eclipse Awards presented by the Daily Racing Form. I'm sure it'll be in California again. It always is. Anyway, it's our fourth year, and it's on January 17th.
Had in Florida 1 year, I think.
Did they?
I think so.
Someplace warm. Thoroughbred Charities of America will honor Graham and Anita Motion with the Allaire DuPont Leadership Award and will honor the Communication Alliance to Network Thoroughbred X Racehorses, that's Canner, with the Thoroughbred Charities of America Industry Service Award at the 25th Annual Select Stallion Season Auctions. That's coming up Saturday, January 10th at the Keeneland Entertainment Center in Lexington. That's a big deal. It's very dressed up and a lot of fun. Rooster Brew today. In Paris, Ralph Quillen's place, the Rooster Brewer, the beer brewery, they're having Liam's Fancy, and they play Irish tunes, and the KFC is going to cook hot dogs, Catholic hot dogs.
Catholic.
It's part of the holiday hop in Paris. Today is November 22nd. EKU is at Lakeside Arena. That's down where Frankfurt, the exit at Route 60, Frankfurt, and all around there anyway. ISSRA Saddle Seat Show. So, they're having a Hunter Jumper show December 6th and 7th. Oh, Standard Bread's old friends, Barbara Livingston, has a new book. Oh, I wish she'd come on and talk about it. If you want one, you can Google Harness Racing Museum in Goshen, New York. So there. That's it. Hello.
Is that it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Patty O'Prater is a grade one stakes winner and millionaire from a leading sire family, and a live female family is one of 88 stakes winners by El Prado. Of course, El Prado, the sire of last year's champion sire, Kitten's Joy. Also the sire of Medaglia d'Oro, another outstanding sire. And Patty O'Prater is a half-brother to the brilliant Untappable. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. Winner of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oak. Winner of the Grade 1 Mother Goose. And she's a shoo-in for an Eclipse Award. Untappable and Patty O'Prater are out of the graded stakes winner Funhouse from a female family loaded with Grade 1 winners. It's a great pedigree. Patty O'Prater lived up to it. He won 5 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Secretariat, and he placed in 4 more. 3 grade 1, among them the classic Kentucky Derby, which, of course, as you know, is on the dirt. Retired with earnings in excess of $1,721,000, he has received a full book of quality mares every year at studs since his retirement, and his 2015 stud fee, $9,500, payable when the foal stands and nurses. Now, get in touch with Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle, a Mark Toothacker over at Spendthrift, 259-294-0030. And when you call Spendthrift Farm, always, always ask about breeding incentives. The website is SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, I've just got a second. Oh, I've got another announcement. I've got 4 minutes. I've got another announcement. We don't know what time we'll be on next week. It all depends on what time the UK Louisville football game is. If it's a nooner, well, then we will be on from 8 till 10. If it's not a nooner, we'll be on at the usual time, which is, as both of you know, 10 from 10 until noon.
They're supposed to announce it tomorrow.
Okay. Oh. Well, they'll announce it so you can check out. I don't know. Anyway, I got 3 minutes here. I'm going to read just a very short little thing from Joe Palmer. I mean, it's kind of amusing anyway. It's called Suspicion is an Ugly Thing from one of Joe's columns.
Could be announced.
Apparently, horses are raised in the West a little differently than they are handled in Kentucky and Virginia and other horse centers. The tale was told to Keeneland of an owner from Wyoming who showed up at a race meeting with an 8-year-old non-starter and put him in a moderately good race. Since an 8-year-old maiden is hardly a betting attraction, he was offered $135.60, most of his backing coming from the owner. He had his field beaten in one swift quarter mile and then galloped in by 10 lengths. The stewards naturally scented something, and even though the owner had a good reputation, they sent for him. "Is this horse unsound?" one of them asked. "No, sir," said the owner. "Soundest horse you ever saw. Got ankles like iron, and there ain't never been a pimple on him." "Well, then," asked the steward, "why haven't you raced him before this?" "Well, mister," said the owner sheepishly, "to tell you the truth, we couldn't catch him until he was 7. That's one of Joe Palmer's stories. All right. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. That ain't going to take long to announce. They haven't been running anywhere. All races have been canceled in Mountaineer and at Churchill. They did run yesterday at Churchill.
And Emma Mulvey took a hot Latin lover down there and won a race. And somebody told me, I didn't look at the price when I pulled this off, but I saw Emma's name, so I wrote this down. But they say it paid $90-something. And way to go, Emma. Ted Lucas saddled one on the 15th, was before the weather, before the shoe hit the fan around here, you know. And anyway, that's and Ted won with something named Bad Student. Might have been named after me. And once again, we don't know what time we're going to be on next week. Whatever. It depends on the football, what time they tee up that football for Kentucky and Louisville.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned and tune in early and
Thanksgiving,
hang on late.
We'll bring in leftover pie, Russi, so Russi can have more pie, even more pie.
More pie.
And thanks to Diane White, Michael Blowen's better half, who brought me cranberry chutney.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow.
Yeah,
great.
And I want to thank Dr. Walridge coming by and Jamie Link, and we had some nice people on the show today. And
we did. Very nice.
Had some fun.
And it'll go up on UrsulaEllisHorseTales.com.
Eventually.
Maybe today. Maybe tomorrow.
All right, well, that music makes me it's time to go. Thank you, Mary Jane. Bless your heart. And Ressie, thank you, and we'll talk to you next week.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG.